shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a bud shall blossom. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. As I looked at these readings, I was thinking about fruit trees, what they bear and how they come about. I was reflecting on them. I thought about Bishop Lane Retreat Center. I would spend part of every summer there for, I don't know, about 12, 13 years. And as you look at the main part of the main building, at the edge of the parking lot, as it sort of turns up, there's a driveway that goes up by the kitchen for deliveries and then further up for the house for the people who live there. And right there at the corner, the driveway goes up and the parking lot sort of turns there. There's a lamppost. It's not anything terribly exciting. But next to the lamppost is an apple tree. It was just, I was told it was an apple tree, but it was kind of curious. It was a little strange. It grew about the height of the lamppost, and then it just sort of consumed the lamppost, so it couldn't give off any light. And the branches sort of reached across the driveway, so it provided an enormous blind spot, so that as you came down that driveway, you really couldn't see if there was a car coming. I mean, granted, it's Bishop Lane Retreat Center, so it's not terribly busy, but you basically had to trust in blind luck that no one was coming in order to try and pull out, because there was no way to see around it. Branches reached almost all the way across the driveway, so it scraped every car that passed by. It could destroy anybody's paint job, just having to drive by once. It was kind of a useless tree. I mean, there's this apple tree that produced no fruit at all, that it really sort of blocked out all the light and really provided this blind spot. So much so it was a useless tree that one of the caretakers at Bishop Lane Retreat Center, he just cut it down. He got angry one day and just cut it off at the root, or just cut it off at the base and dragged it off and called it a day. It made a nice stump. It was really great. You could sit there. It was a great place to sit. But curiously enough, about nine trees grew from that root. They sort of all started to come up, and for a while it was a nice looking bush, and then it once again got to about the height of the lamp post. And it was at that time I was a seminarian working there as a caretaker, and I went out to look at it the one day, and one of the caretakers came up to me and said, "You know, I cut this tree down about 10 years ago. It was in the way. It didn't do anything. It didn't provide anything. It's an apple tree that doesn't produce apples. It's kind of a useless tree." And I said, "Well, let's see what we can do with it. Instead of just trying to cut it down, we'll try and see what we can do with it." So we pruned away at some things, pulled it back, tried to give it away to so the lamppost could still give its light, trying to trim it down. That season, for the very first time, it actually produced apples. The apples tasted terrible, but I don't really, that's not the point. The genuine intention was the tree, for the first time, was able to sustain fruit. It didn't block the lamppost, so the light was still there. And I think there were about six solid trunks that actually came up that we deemed sustainable for life and allowed it to grow up there. And I mention this, I look at this and I kind of think about these readings. One of the things I kind of stop and think about is John the Baptist. And John, in many ways, was a distinctive character that everyone could see. It says in the scripture he wore camel hair, a leather belt, ate locusts and wild honey. Now for us, it just seems like an odd way to describe someone. It tells us something about them, but it's just an odd description. In modern language, for the familiarity, everyone knew what it was when they said John wore camel's hair and a belt. It would have been as simple as if I had said to you, "I saw a guy the other day, he was wearing cleats and pads all across his body and big shoulder pads and a helmet." You think, "Oh, he plays football. That makes sense." When the gospel writer wrote, "He wore camel's hair and a leather belt and ate locusts and wild honey," every single person who heard it went, "Oh, I get it, he's a prophet. That makes sense, okay." The challenge is that, of course, prophet literally translated means crazy person. So actually what they heard was, "Oh, I got it, he's nuts. That's okay, sure, now I'm with you, I understand where you're going." John the Baptist is a pruner. In many ways, he looks at the tree, he looks at our lives, and he calls us to be cut back in the places where we've overgrown. He calls us to be trimmed in those places so that we can actually be shaped towards God. It is this great reminder to us that in these readings today, there is this great analogy of bearing good fruit. It calls and challenges and invites each and every one of us to consider what it is to bear good fruit. And we can't do it necessarily alone. Like the apple tree at Bishop Lane, if you go and see it today, by the way, I haven't done anything to it in 10 years, so I do not take responsibility for the fact that it is now overgrown again and takes out the lamppost. But it needs to be trimmed. We need that pruning. We need that cutting back. No, none of us like it. None of us want to admit to our sins and admit that we're doing something wrong and we need to reshape certain parts of our lives. We know we're not excited about it. But it's necessary for us. It's necessary to be trimmed back in certain areas so that we might grow into something more. That we might bear better fruit. These days, apples fall from that tree every season. The deer and the raccoons, they love it. I think they're still a little sour, but I don't know. I don't eat a lot of apples, but I don't try those particular apples at all. But in order to truly be good fruit-bearing individuals, we have to not only grow, we not only have to be continually growing, but at times there's that pruning back. There is that shaping and cutting that needs to happen so that we too might continue to grow as we should. And John the Baptist very much does that. He sort of has that pruning. He calls them to the repentance. He calls them to the Jordan River so that they might repent. And then he sees the Sadducees and the Pharisees come out, and what happens? He doesn't think their intentions are honest. And sure enough, they aren't. He calls them a brood of vipers to call them to task. To call them to remind them that they have to be something more than what they are appearing to be right at that moment. And he asks, "And what is your evidence? What are you doing in your own life?" He says, "Produce good fruit as a sign of your repentance." He's challenging them in that moment, here and now. And what is the other challenge? They can say, "Well, we have Abraham as our father. We don't need to prove anything to you. We have Abraham as our father." For our own day, that's falling back on old merits. It's that challenge that we might try and point to something that we've done and go, "Well, I did these things. Why doesn't that count for something?" And the answer is, "Well, that's great. But what are we doing now?" These days, if I see people, very often I'll meet someone and they'll say, "Oh, I went to Catholic school." And I think, "That's awesome. What are you doing now?" "Well, I don't go to church anymore." "Well, why not?" We can't just fall back on our old, "Well, I went to Catholic school," and suddenly decide that that's sufficient or somehow that's enough. We can say, "Well, Abraham's my father. That's great. But what fruit are we producing?" It's that challenge to us that, you know, we may have had good things before, and that's fantastic. But the challenge is that we have to continue to be growing ourselves. We cannot fall back on those old merits and say that that is sufficient. Just as John the Baptist reminds us, produce good fruit now. And so it is that great reminder to us, it is calling to us in this very, very good season of Advent to consider in our own lives, what fruit am I producing this season? Am I producing good fruit now? Because curiously enough, I think it's no coincidence that they use a harvest analogy. There is fruit on that tree every season. What fruit are we producing this season? Are we growing with God? Are we being shaped back towards God? Or do we have to be pruned back a little? Do we have to sort of re-examine where we are and reconsider where we're going so that we might be fully involved in our life with God and produce good fruit?